Good morning, council. You may approach your council table and have a seat. Good morning and welcome to the September session of the Nebraska Court of Appeals. We appreciate your appearance here today. We have followed the proper protocols and done cleaning prior to your argument, following the last argument. We thank you for following our safety protocols and wearing your masks into the courtroom. And council, when you approach the bench for your arguments, you may remove your face masks and then put them back on when you return to your table. And when we conclude, we'll ask that you all exit by the side door there. So are there any questions about our procedure thus far? Thank you. We'll do some brief introductions. My name is Frankie Moore. I'm from North Platte. I'm joined on the bench to my left by Judge Larry Welch of Plattsmouth. And we're joined this morning by WebEx video conferencing by Judge Rico Bishop here of Lincoln. When she's asking a question, her face will appear on your monitor over here. And she also has the ability to see the bench and hear all of the proceedings. So with that, we'll begin. This case is Smith versus King. Counsel, you may approach when you're ready.
May I reserve 2 minutes for rebuttal?
Yes, you may.
Good morning, Your Honors. My name is Sandra Stern, and I represent Gerald King, the father in this case, who is also the defendant. We are here on appeal of the district court order, which awarded the mother, Ashley Smith, primary physical possession of these children and awarded the father basically as a standard every other weekend type visitation. We are respectfully asking Your Honors to remand the decision based on a de novo review of this, the entirety of these proceedings, which spanned over 2 years, to find that Judge Randall abused his discretion and that it is in the best interest of the minor children that the father have at least six out of 14 days each 2 weeks during the school year, 50% of the holidays and 50% of the summers. We feel that the record more than supports a finding on de novo review that this is in the best interest of the two minor children. Ideally, the father would like a 50-50 situation, but in this case, I'm sure you've read the brief and read the record, there was an agreement by the parties after the first 2 days of trial that the father would enjoy six out of 14 days and 50% of holidays and 50% of the summer. And Mr. King is willing to abide by his settlement terms. Your Honors, this proceeding had so many irregularities from the beginning that I hope you find supports a best interest finding for these children that dad should have at least 6 out of 14 days. Prior to the temporary hearing on September 1st of 2017, he had for 2 years prior to that time enjoyed 50% of the time with his children. He was a pro se individual at the first temporary hearing that occurred before Judge Randall. He was given his affidavit for the temporary hearing 24 hours before the hearing. There's a 48-hour rule in Douglas County. He called the court the day he got his affidavit and said, I need to get a lawyer. There's a lot of things in these affidavits that are incorrect. Can I have a continuance? He appeared at the day of the temporary hearing without counsel, a pro se individual. Opposing counsel offered affidavits that had only been provided to him 24 hours ahead of time. And again, Mr. King asked the judge, Your Honor, can I get a continuance of this? There's a lot of things in these affidavits that are wrong. I would like to have my day in court. Judge Randall said, no, you cannot have a continuance. Now, oh, by the way, you need to know the law, which obviously he's a pro se individual and he does not know the law. The judge heard testimony, or actually did not even hear testimony, basically. No sworn testimony, received the affidavits from the bench, ordered that Mr. King should have every Thursday through Sunday. And by the way, Mr. King, you're ordered to pay $704 a month for child support, and it's due today. And
Mr. King, excuse me.
Yes.
Yeah, I know. Sorry.
Yes.
It's confusing. Would you mind jumping to your argument related to the alleged settlement agreement that was had in chambers? And it appears to me that we're missing in our record anything related to a hearing that took place in November following the alleged agreement on October 1 or 2.
Right.
So we don't have the benefit of what may have been discussed at that November hearing, but is it a problem that you didn't go into court after reaching that agreement and put it on the record? I can see that Douglas County doesn't have a rule. The judge seemed to think later, when this came up later, that it had to have been put on the record, but it's my understanding there's no rule that would have required that.
Your Honor, there's no rule that would require it be on the record, and I've cited several cases in my brief in Nebraska that says offer and acceptance, there's an agreement of the parties. Mr. King certainly could have proceeded with trial on that date and likely would have rested based on the judge's comment and opted not to do so. He wanted 50-50 and he wanted a lot of things that he conceded in that. And the trial was stopped, Your Honor, because there was an agreement. All of the terms, 100% of the terms were reached in front of Judge Randall. I've cited a case in my brief, and I know it's not a Nebraska case, but it's directly on point. It basically was the case where there was a settlement in front of the judge, and the judge said, I witnessed the settlement, I'm going to enter it. And in this particular case, Judge Randall witnessed the in-chamber settlement. He said on the record, it's clear on the record that he said, I witnessed it. I didn't think there was any disagreement between you. I thought there was a settlement. I thought a settlement was reached. I thought there was going to be a decree prepared. The docket entry from the judge says, Ms. Stern, to prepare a decree. We had a hearing on October 1st, Your Honor. October 2nd, there was a proposed decree to opposing counsel. And then opposing counsel...
Is it a problem? I mean, are you familiar with the Furstenfeld versus Pepin case, a court of appeals case where there was an agreement made in the course of planning to take a deposition at an attorney's office? And so the trial was called off as a result. They called the judge, said we didn't need trial anymore. And then there was an effort to back out of that agreement. But in that case, they had a hearing and actually had one of the attorneys called to the stand to acknowledge actually that there had been an agreement. In this case, like I said, we don't seem to have the record of what happened in November to know whether or not any other evidence was adduced regarding that agreement.
Your Honor, I think the record shows that Judge Randall heard the agreement and he was present in chambers and witnessed 100% of the agreement. And there has been no dispute. I submitted a proposed decree to Judge Randall and to opposing counsel with 100% of the terms that were included in the agreement. And there was no disagreement that those terms were not what was agreed upon in court in the presence of Judge Randall.
And that was at which hearing?
That was the father's motion to enter decree, and it had 100% of the terms.
Which hearing?
It was after the October 1st, 2018 hearing. There was a hearing on the record, and I can't give you the exact date. I'm sorry, Your Honor.
Do we have that in our...
You do have it, and I've cited to it in my brief.
But here's my problem is I don't see anything in that portion of the record or any part of the record that says here are the terms. We've had a meeting of the minds. Here are the terms of the agreement. Judge Randall doesn't tell us what those are.
Your Honor, when I did the motion to enter decree, and I said to Your Honor, this is 100% of what we agreed to, that it's in the record. I'm sorry, I don't have the exact date, but it is an exhibit and it is in the record, and it contains 100% of the terms that were agreed upon. And Judge Randall never said, I don't think that happened. You know, this wasn't included in there. Mr. Pomerleau didn't say, no, we didn't agree to this. His sole argument is, I didn't get a present evidence. I didn't get to call witnesses.
Is there any evidence in the record related to emails that you may have exchanged with opposing counsel regarding this constitutes the agreement we reached in chambers?
There might be in the record. The proposed decree was certainly offered to the court and said this was the agreement. And it was never disputed by opposing counsel that the agreement was 6 out of 14 days with dad, half of the summer, half of holidays, child support based on a joint custody calculation, and dad has to pay child support. Arrears are preserved and child care is preserved. Dad pays $300 a month towards arrears.
And did the parties actually start exercising an 8-6 parenting schedule?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And they exercised it for 7 months before Judge Randall changed it from October 1st of 2018 through May 8th of 2019, they exercised the 6-14 schedule.
Was evidence put into the record in that regard?
Yes, Your Honor.
To further parse this, your position is the settlement took place the afternoon of October 1st, correct?
Yes.
We don't have a record of that.
All we have is that the judge said agreement reached, Sandra Stern to prepare a decree.
Okay.
And we have that the trial ended mid-trial. It was a full day trial. Both parties, we have the judge saying,
and I'm aware of that, but yeah. as it relates to that October 1st time frame when this agreement is taking place,
yes.
We don't have anything on the record as it relates to whether your clients were with you. If it was just the two of you and the judge,
I think the record shows that all the parties were present and that the trial broke and everybody had an opportunity to speak with their clients. I do believe the record shows that.
So that the record would reflect that there was actual authority given from the clients to the attorneys and that there was a meeting of the minds with respect to every point as it relates to that?
Yes, and the judge even said on the record, I agreed on that date we were settled. It looks like I'm out of time.
Yes, it does. Okay. Yes, you are.
Okay.
Thank you very much for your argument. We appreciate it. You may approach. Good morning.
Good morning, Your Honor.
You're welcome to remove your mask during your argument.
I'm so used to it, sorry.
Thank you.
Your Honor, I'd like to begin with the alleged settlement that took place.
Counsel, before you begin, would you please state your name?
My name is Chris Pomerleau. I'm here on behalf of the appellee and plaintiff, okay. Ashley Smith.
I was confused by the sign-in sheet. Thank you, Mr. Pomerleau.
Your Honor, I'd like to begin with the alleged agreement that took place between the parties. This never happened. There was never an agreement. There was never a settlement. Unfortunately, Ms. Stern is incorrect. The parties were not obviously in the judge's chambers, so they never had any input on this alleged settlement.
Mr. Pomerleau?
Yes, Your Honor.
It's actually in the record that Judge Randall said he understood that there was a settlement agreement.
Correct, Your Honor. His understanding of our conversation in chambers is that if you read further into what he said, he spoke to him saying, I didn't strong arm anybody. And then I even went on the record, Your Honor, and said, I was under the impression that the court had made a decision. Not once did I ever talk to my client or agree to anything. So even if Judge Randall stated on the record that he thought there was a settlement, his understanding of whether there's a settlement or not is not a ruling. It's not a signed agreement by the parties. And it's certainly not him stating that any agreement was actually in the best interest of the children. And I think that's probably one of the more important things to keep in mind here. Let's say that I actually did agree in chambers. Is that controlling? Is the court then going to look at it and say, I don't care about the best interest of the children. I'm just going to go off of whatever I heard in chambers. See, what Ms. Stern failed to state is that trial then went on. We had additional evidence. And in between that hearing and further hearings, there were
Hold on. Trial went on because you asked for it to reopen and continue because you argued that there'd been no closing argument or something to that effect. And trial actually stopped after lunch that day because of what occurred in chambers. And then isn't it true that your clients proceeded to operate on an 8-6 parenting schedule from that point forward?
Yes, Your Honor. I was under the impression that the court had a position, and I wanted to put my client in the best position by following what I thought or I understood to be guidance from the court.
And wasn't it your understanding that a decree was going to be delivered to you representing whatever had occurred there in chambers, representing what had been said and determined at that point? That a decree was forthcoming?
That, yes, Your Honor. I was under the impression that Ms. Stern would be sending me a decree to review to make sure that I agreed with its contents.
Okay.
And I did not agree with its contents.
Okay, because it wasn't consistent with what occurred in chambers?
What occurred in chambers wasn't a negotiation, Your Honor. I was under the impression that a decision had been made. I had never once talked to my client. I never once left the chambers. I, as the attorney, was under the impression a decision had been made. We then never resumed into court. We never put anything on the record. We never broke formally or any type of order that anything would take place regarding a decree. There was no settlement in chambers, Your Honor. And there's nothing on the record. And Judge Randall even states on the record that nothing was ever put on the record. He never made the decision. He may have read it as though it was a settlement. But then again, aren't we back to what's in the best interest of the children regardless? I'm here to say there was no settlement. But let's say that there was. Does that mean that the court then says, I don't care what the best interests of the children are, I'm just going to do whatever was said in chambers? And I think that's kind of why we're here, is for the best interests of the children. So I understand that's a single issue, Your Honor, but there was no settlement, and it was never put on the record, and there was never order from the judge. The guidance from me to my client to follow that parenting time schedule is that I was under the impression that there was guidance from the court that she should do that. From day one, if this court has a chance to review all of this testimony and all of the record, from day one, I have done nothing but try to have my client actually do what the court tells her. And so when I thought we were being told what to do, I had her do so. But after we put on additional information and more evidence, there's a plethora of items here that show that it is certainly not in the best interest of the children that father have 50-50 custody or any more parenting time that he's given. And so the judge then made a decision based upon the evidence.
I'm going to try and parse this a little bit more. The trial stopped on October 1st, based upon at least something that took place in chambers that afternoon. Would you agree with that?
Yes, Your Honor.
And were you of the impression that, based on what the judge told you, that the two of you would be agreeable to that, subject to looking at it and making sure that it properly captured what you agreed to in chambers? Is that what happened?
No, Your Honor. I was under the impression the judge had made a decision. And then...
Why would you allow that when the trial wasn't complete? How can the judge make a decision prior to the trial being complete?
That is my mistake, Your Honor. And I even went on the record then later at the next hearing to state that. That is my fault for not then saying, well, we at least need to get this on the record, or my client doesn't agree. I was under the impression the court had made a decision. We broke for lunch. We never resumed. That's all that happened. If the court has an opportunity to review, to get past the alleged settlement, I feel like perhaps I'm beating a dead horse here. There's a long, long list of items and situations and evidence and live testimony that show that the court certainly took into consideration what the best interests of the children are.
Mr. Pomerleau, let me throw you another curveball. So nobody raised this, but this is a paternity case, right?
Yes,
and
sir.
43-1411 says that a mother or father can bring a paternity action within 4 years of a child's birth. These parents were well past that as to their children. So there appears to be a statute of limitations issue regarding establishing paternity, since neither parent brought these actions within 4 years of the last child's or the children's birth. Is that a problem?
It would be, Your Honor, if that was the situation. However, Your Honor, there was an acknowledgement of paternity by Mr. King in that first 4 years.
Was that acknowledgement of paternity put into the court record?
Both parties agree that he was the father and that, that there was an acknowledgement of paternity. There was never an argument whether he was the father or not. And
do you think that since there was no challenge that that constitutes a waiver then of the statute?
Most certainly, Your Honor. But it's in my opinion, it's not just that there's no challenge, but a challenge would have failed because Mr. King was already on the birth certificate and already on the acknowledgement of paternity.
But was that offered into the record?
No, Your Honor, it was not.
Okay, thank you.
Your Honor, Ms. Smith is not here to say Mr. King's not the father of the children, but I appreciate the question and the curveball. I would like to reserve at least a minute for rebuttal, but regarding the settlement, there never was one.
I'm sorry, as an appellee, you do not have rebuttal time.
And I have 2 minutes left. Regarding the settlement, there was no settlement. And in a hypothetical where there was, this court is not obligated, the lower court's not obligated to just put into practice what the settlement was. The final decision is what is in the best interest of the children. So the court doesn't say, oh, you agreed to it? Well, I'm going to do this, and it doesn't matter what the best interest of the children are.
Well, isn't what you've been arguing that the judge essentially laid out where he was going, which presumably was based on the best interests of the children, when you met on October 1?
Before all the evidence had been put in. And as you know, Your Honor, this happens very often in the middle of a trial where they may call the attorneys in the chambers and say, I'm kind of here. Additional information, pretty damaging to Mr. King, came out after this day. Physical violence witnesses. The continuance to keep the children involved in the case by showing them and telling them everything going on. The continuance to not even pay child support, to not pay child care costs. All of this was additional information, not to mention texts that the court can read that I won't read into the record today, as well as the inability to even follow the parenting time. From that day of the alleged settlement moving forward, Mr. King didn't even follow the court-ordered parenting time schedule, even when he was supposed to. He continued to dig himself in a hole. So this just furthered our argument, and the court had an opportunity to hear that.
What do you suggest is the legal test as it relates to whether or not a settlement took place in this situation? What evidence would we need to establish that?
I think Nebraska Revised Statute Section 43-1404 spells that out. And there's an explanation that it needs to be a judicial decision, either by the court or read onto the record and approved by the court. Neither of those took place. Thank you for my time.
Thank you very much. Does appellant have time remaining? No time remaining. So, counsel, you are excused and your case is submitted. We ask again that you place your face masks on, and when you're ready, exit by the side door. Thank you very much for your appearance and following our safety protocols.
Thank you.
Thank you both.